Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see each and every one of you out. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Luke. Thank you for the opportunity we've had to be here this week and the opportunity to do some preaching. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. If you will, stand with me when you get there. And we'll read Luke chapter 17, verses 5 and 6. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Lord, we do love you. We thank you for this time that we can gather in your house. I just ask, dear God, that you'll do a work in our midst. Use this old preacher one more time. You know exactly what we need, and I pray you'd give it to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The apostles came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they asked him to increase our faith. If only I had enough faith to do what other people do. If only I had the faith. How do I strengthen my faith? Well, in this passage of Scripture, if we just had a small mustard seed faith, we could remove huge trees and plant them in the sea, and they would obey us. If we just had just that little bit of faith, boy, what a tremendous thing. Another passage of Scripture, we could move mountains with just a little bitty mustard seed faith. And folks, I want you to understand something. Apparently, I don't have that kind of faith because I've never been able to move a tree that way or move a mountain that way. And I'm not sure I really want to. But the fact of the matter is that all we need is a small faith to accomplish great things. And I want you to think about this with me. Hold your finger here. Go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. There's a warning over here, and I believe we need to compare Scripture with Scripture. We can't just take one passage of Scripture and run with it. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I believe we need to understand that, yes, we can have great faith, but we need to mix it with something. And here in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, start reading here in verse 1, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now the word charity really is talking about love. If we don't have love, it doesn't amount to a whole lot. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that can remove trees, that faith that can move mountains, says here, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. So if we don't mix our faith with love, we're nothing. We can go and demonstrate great faith and we can do great things, but without love, it doesn't matter and it doesn't amount to a whole lot. So with that thought, I want to get back on my focus here and get back to the word faith. And I want to look at this question that the apostles came to Jesus with. He said, then they said, increase our faith. Well, I'm going to give you four faith nuggets tonight. I'll preach quick and we'll be done here in just a second. But four faith nuggets, how to increase your faith. Number one, we've got to meditate on God's Word. We'll never increase our faith if we leave this book on a shelf someplace. We'll never increase our faith if we leave it on the coffee table. We'll never increase our faith if we leave it on the dash of the car. We've got to have this book in our lap. We've got to be able to study the Word of God. I've already told you about my mentor in the faith, and Dr. Knoss was his name, and I'll never forget Dr. Knoss as long as I live. He was my pastor when I was a teenager, and when I surrendered to preach, I told him I was going to preach, And he said, keep your nose in the book and your knees on the floor. And folks, keep your nose in the book is studying the Word of God, meditating upon the things that the Word of God has to say. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We get into the Word of God and we study it and we read it over and over and over and over and over again. Never tire reading the Word of God. Never tire studying the Word of God. Keep on studying. Keep on digging. Keep on getting into the treasures of the Word of God. By the way, do you understand? It says in 1 Peter chapter 1, I believe in verse 4, that this book is full of precious promises. Precious promises. All you have to do is open the treasure chest, and it's full of all those promises, and all you have to do is dig them out. They're there for you to grab a hold of. They're there for you to apply to your life. They're there for you to grow thereby. All you have to do is open the lid and dig into it. Dig into the treasure box. Boy, if you had a treasure chest in your backyard, you'd dig up that whole backyard trying to find that treasure chest. You'd do everything you could to get that treasure chest. Once you found it, you'd break that treasure chest open and you start looking at the jewels and the gold that's in there. You got something that's worth far more than that right here. It's called the Word of God. Matter of fact, I want to show you something, and bear with me if you will, because you know all this anyhow. You're smarter than I am. Look over here in Psalm 19. One of my favorite psalms, and I hate to say things like that because I'm always saying it about everything I turn to. Well, that's one of my favorite passages of Scripture, but Psalm 19, I want you to notice something. Of course, this is a little tune that we sing with the kids, but start here in verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. That's the Word of God. Now notice in verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold. And if you had a treasure chest of gold out there, you'd dig it up and you'd do everything you could to get that gold. Well, this is more to be desired than gold. Every one of you has more than one Bible sitting around your house. Every one of you has a Bible in your home. Listen, there's not too many homes in America where you don't find a Bible someplace. And there's people that'll look at that Bible and walk right on by, and they never open the lid to the treasure chest, and they never get the gold out of it. More to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Folks, all we have to do is get into the treasure chest and dig out the treasures that God has for us there. Read the Word of God. Keep reading the Word of God. I mentioned this the other night. It might have been last night. I don't remember what night it was. But listen, there's a lot of things I don't understand in the Bible. I'm not going to stand here tonight and tell you I understand everything, because I don't. I wish I did, but I don't. And there's verses in the Bible I've taken the time to put a question mark beside. And I keep praying about it. And every time I go by that question mark, I pray again, Lord, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Well, he hasn't opened some of those up to me yet, but every now and then it'll come out. It'll come popping out at me. There's that gold. There's that treasure that God has given me. Listen, if you're going to have a faith that's going to be God-honoring, if you're going to have that kind of faith, you've got to have your nose in the book. You've got to study the Word of God. Listen, there's Christians that spend more time in the newspaper than they do the Bible. There's Christians that spend more time watching TV than they do reading their Bible. There's Christians that go to the movies and spend more time at a movie house than they do studying their Bible. My Bible says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You've got to rightly divide the word of truth. How can you do that? You study it. You study it. Listen, I'm going to tell you tonight, the best commentary for the Bible is the Bible. You don't need Matthew Henry to tell you what it says. You don't need any other commentator to tell you what it says. You don't need J. Vernon McGee to tell you what it is. Get into the Word of God, and you'll find out that the best commentary for the Bible is itself. And you study the Word of God. Get into it. Read it over and over again. Joshua, look if you will over here in Joshua chapter 1. It's over here somewhere. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. All right, Joshua chapter 1. Look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, after you've meditated on the Word of God day and night, this isn't something that just happens, it's something that you work at. Then, okay, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Well, I tell you what, you see Christians all dragging around, feeling sorry for themselves, and their chins dragging on the floor, and they feel so bad about everything that's going on in their life, and they've never spent 1 ounce of time in the Word of God. They're never going to be a successful Christian. They're never going to have the faith that's going to honor God without studying the Word of God. Look in Psalm 1. The book of Psalms. This is one of my favorite Psalms. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate sometime. Day and night. When was the last time you spent all day meditating on the Word of God? When was the last time you spent all night meditating on the Word of God? If we just get our nose in the book, if we just study it, if we just meditate upon it. Now, I'm not talking about, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about thinking about what you just read from the book. Mulling over it and over it and over it. Now, I got a suggestion for you. You know, many times what some of you will do, you'll go home and you'll watch the news and then you'll go to bed. Now, I don't know about you, but the news depresses me. Well, I hate the news. And then you try to go to bed and then you toss and turn all night long. You know what you should do? Forget the news and open up your Bible and read a couple of chapters out of the Word of God. Then as you close your eyes, what you're thinking about from the Word of God. And you go over it all night long. All night long. Well, my suggestion would be to go to the book of Psalms and read one of your favorite Psalms just before you go to sleep. Then all night long you think about that, you dream about that. And boy, I want to tell you something, it becomes rich and real to you. And you're drawn closer and closer to God. The Bible says, draw nigh to me and I will draw nigh to you. You can't draw nigh to God if you're not doing it through His Word. You know what prayer is? Prayer is us talking to God. You know what Bible study and meditation is? God talking to you. And the only way God's going to talk to you, by the way, He's not going to show up in a vision. He's not going to show up in a dream. He's not going to pop up in your room and tap you on the shoulder and start talking to you. That's not the way He communicates with us nowadays. He communicates with us through His Word. I'll never forget some years ago, we were in a church and a lady got up and she says, I met Jesus in my bathroom today. What? And she had this vision of Jesus while she was in her bathroom. And I thought to myself, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. And here we are, we're listening to this here at church. We're supposed to be Bible preaching church, and we're listening to this lady tell about some vision she had of Jesus in her bathroom. Folks, I want you to understand something. Jesus is going to you can find Jesus, and it's right here in the book, the Word of God. And He will communicate to you through this book. Now notice what it says here. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. In verse 3, and He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth His fruit in His season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. Boy, that sounds a lot like Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. If we just meditate in the Word of God, we can be prosperous Christians. We can be successful in this Christian life. We don't have to walk around all humped over and our chins dragging on the ground. We don't have to look like we lost the battle. We don't have to look all beat up. We can go around praising God. Why? Because we can be successful because we've studied the Word of God. Now, preacher, I'm going to tell you something. Just because you study the Word of God doesn't mean terrible things aren't going to happen to you. I'm not going to tell you that. But it'll prepare you. When those terrible things come, you'll be prepared if you study the Word of God. You'll know what to say. My Bible says, and I believe it's 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the hope that's in you. Be ready always. How are you going to be ready? I've had people that claim to be saved for 50 years, and they're not ready to talk to people about Jesus. They're not ready to talk to somebody when they ask them a question. How on earth can you be saved for 50 years and not be ready? If you've been studying the Bible, you're ready for that. You're ready to give an answer. You study the Word of God. You're prepared to give them what the Scriptures say about almost everything that's happening in this world today. So, if we're going to have a faith that brings honor and glory to the Lord, if we're going to increase our faith, we've got to do it through the Word of God. Number two, we need to maintain a right heart. We need to maintain a right heart. Look, if you will, over here. We're in Psalms. Well, what do you know? Let's go over here to Psalm 66. Psalm 66. Down here in Psalm 66 in verse 18, it says here, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now see, if we're going to have the fellowship with God that we need to have, we need to get the iniquity out of our heart. Now I understand that most of us, when we look at this verse, we think, well, that's just talking about sin, so all we have to do is confess our sin. I'm going to show you something from the Word of God, and you can agree with me or disagree with me. It doesn't really matter. I'm not trying to split the church, and I'm not trying to split hairs. But I believe that almost every time you find the word iniquity in the Bible, it's associated with something else. It's associated with idolatry. Now, how do I know that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look over here in Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 14. Now, this is just one case. It's found throughout the Word of God, but I want to show you this. Ezekiel, chapter 14. Notice what it says here in Ezekiel, chapter 14. We'll read a few verses, but we'll start here in verse 1. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Wait a minute. Wait, what did it say? Idols and iniquity. That's all in the same sentence here. Okay? Now let's read on. Should I be inquired of at all by them? In other words, what he means is, should I answer their prayer when they call unto me? If they're going to worship idols and have the stumbling block of their iniquity before them, why should I even listen to them? That's basically what God is saying here. And by the way, why should He listen to us if we're holding on to something in our life that seems to be more important to Him, if we're not willing to give up on that? Look at verse 4. Therefore speak unto them, and saying, and thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. I really don't need to read any more of that passage. I think we've got the idea here. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I've set up an idol in my heart. I've got that idol, and that idol is more important to me than God Himself. How many of us have got something in our life that shouldn't be there, and we've set it up as an idol? Oh, listen, I want to tell you something. I've been at this business for a long time, and there's a lot of people that have a lot of idols in their life. And I've talked to people, and you know what? There was a fellow that told me, I asked him one time why he never came to church on Sunday morning. He says, that's the only time of the week I've got to wash my car. So his car was more important than God. That's the idol that he had set up. Well, I mean, he had a nice car. But it's not more important than God. And every time I turn around, there's somebody that's taken off for a family reunion. You know, if the preacher did that, we'd be writing him up. We've got our family, and that family's more important than God. We've set up our idol, and it's set up before us, and we're telling God, this is more important than you are. It's iniquity. If I regard iniquity, I really don't need to go through a list of sin. That's not the point here. The point is that we know what we've set up in our heart, and that's what separates us from getting our prayers answered. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Folks, we need to maintain a right heart. And we need to fall on our face before God and confess our sin before God and tear down the idol that's in our heart and get right with God and say, Lord, I want to maintain a right heart. And if my worship is to go anywhere, it will go to you. My Bible says God's a jealous God. He's not willing to share His glory with anything or anyone else. And too many times we set up something else in our life to take the glory away from God. And He's a jealous God, and He wants our worship exclusively. And we need to change that and fall on our face before Him. Number three, if we're going to have the kind of faith that is increased, that we could actually move mountains, we could please God, we need to meet our difficulties head on. You know what we do many times? I'm going to give you a passage of Scripture here in a moment. But what we do many times, we try to avoid difficulties. We see things coming our way, we'll do anything we can to get out of it. Anything to get out of it. I want to take you over to the book of James, if you will. James chapter 1. And notice what it says here in the book of James chapter 1. I know they didn't take it out of my Bible. Oh, there it is. Okay. James chapter 1. Thought maybe it was removed or something. Look down here in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. What? James, you've started out on the wrong foot. I'm not going to read your book. Count it all joy when problems come. That doesn't sound like a good deal. Look at verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. In other words, it sounds like it works out pretty good if we just do it head on. Face it. Meet it. Look at verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. We do everything we can to avoid trouble. We do everything we can to avoid talking to that person that we know they're going to get into an argument with us. We do everything we can to avoid them. We do everything we can to avoid any problems that are coming our way. Boy, I tell you what, if I think I'm going to get sick, I'm certainly going to go to the doctor and do everything I can, take all the medicine I can not to be sick. And I'm not saying we ought to want to be sick. Don't go out of here saying I said that. But that's not what I'm saying. But the fact of the matter is we do everything we can to avoid problems. And many of the problems that we come in our life are there for a reason. To strengthen us. To make us better. To see if we've got the faith we should have to get through it. You know something? I know I'm not the physical person that, you know, muscles and all that. I certainly don't work out like I should. But you know what? If you never worked your muscles, they wouldn't be worth a whole lot, would they? You got to work your muscles to make them worth anything. It's the same way with your faith. You've got to work your faith. A faith that isn't tried isn't a very good faith. And a faith that can't go through the trials of life is not a very good faith. If we keep avoiding the problems that come our way, then our faith will never grow. The Apostle Paul said, I exercise myself. He wasn't talking about physical exercise. He was talking about spiritual exercise. Listen, we need to exercise ourselves in our faith. Faith gets stronger as we go through the trials of life. And when those problems come, our faith grows as we face it with the grace of God. And as we go through those trials, we actually have met our difficulties head on. And we get stronger. Get stronger. I mean, it's not these muscles. I'm not bragging about these muscles. But the muscles that we call our faith. And we can make them stronger by facing those troubles that come along in our life. And I want to tell you something. And the pastor knows this, if you pastor a church, you face a lot of problems along the way. And if you keep avoiding those problems, eventually they blow up. You have to face them. You have to face them as a pastor. And by the way, those folks that sit in the pew, you've got problems that come along, you have to face them. And instead of running from them, face them. Now I guarantee you, I've seen this, I've been at this for over 40 years now. And I've seen pastors in a church that run every time a problem comes. They resign and they're off at another church. And the reason they go to another church is because they didn't want to face a problem in the church they were in before. And then next thing you know, they're in another church and they're facing the same problem there. So they resign and they go to another church. Folks, it never works. The problems follow you every place you go. You've got to face your problems. You've got to have the faith, the strong faith to face those problems. You know, some of the people that I've admired most in my life are those people that have gone through the trials of life. They've gone through those hard times. And as I look at them, I said, man, there's my hero. There's somebody that knows how to go through life and all the hardships that life has thrown their way. And sometimes I think to myself, boy, I wish I could do that. And next thing I know, something's being thrown my way. And my faith is being tested. The Bible doesn't say, run from it. Notice what it says here in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. What? James, here, listen to me. I'm not rejoicing because I got problems in my life. James had pointed us back there to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What? Don't you understand? I want to go hide someplace. I don't want to go through this. Count it all joy when that trouble comes. And it says here down in verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, because on the other side there's a crown waiting for you. Number four, meet life with God in charge. If you're going to have the faith that's going to be God-honoring, that will move mountains, that will be great, you've got to let God be God. Problem is, we want to be God. And when we take charge, we mess things up. But when we let God be God, everything's far, far greater. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. Now, the Lord, that means He's the one that's in control. He's the one that's in charge. And somebody would say, they take that word, Lord, and they say, He's the boss. Well, I don't particularly like that, but I like He's in charge. Let God take charge. Here's what the problem is, and every one of us is guilty of this, except me. I never let this happen to me. I'm sorry, Lord. The lightning was about ready to come down. Here's the problem. We want to tell God how things should go. Lord, don't you think it'd be better if this happened? And God's shaking his head, no. I think it'd be better if you just listened to me and you follow my direction, my leadership. Now, I'm not perfect in any way. Please don't misunderstand this. But something I've learned through the years of my Christianity is that I can't pray like I should. And Romans chapter 8 tells us that the Holy Spirit can pray. And I'm going to tell you something. I ask the Holy Spirit to take control. And I ask the Holy Spirit to pray for me. I ask the Holy Spirit to pray for my family. I want to give Him everything because I can't handle it. I can't handle it. Let God be God. Let Him take charge. If we just had that kind of faith. Think about this now, and we're almost done. If we're going to have, these are four faith nuggets. If we're going to have the kind of faith that's going to bring honor and glory to the Lord, number one, we need to meditate on God's Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Number two, we need to maintain a right heart. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Number three, we need to meet difficulties head on. In James chapter 1, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Number four, we need to meet life with God in charge. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Lord, increase our faith. Let's stand very quietly. I'm going to ask the preacher to come. Grab a songbook, preacher. We're going to do this again. We're going to do it Alcapoco. We don't need you yet, okay? All right. 570, everybody. We're going to sing this song, and then I'll turn it over to the preacher. 570.